Well, happy Father's Day, dads. Take a second, reach underneath your chairs, scattered throughout the room. There are some gift cards to Home Depot and iTunes, I believe. Special thanks to Best Buy and Home Depot for helping us with that project. These are for dads, by the way. These are for dads. We are beginning a brand new series today for the next couple of weeks called Iron, and it's a series mainly directed at men, although I feel like there will be applications for both genders. I've already talked to a couple of moms who are like, oh, a series just for guys, and the other mom said, well, you know, they do need it more than we do. So there you go. Maybe if you remember right before Christmas, we did a series mainly gathered around the women and the birth narrative of Jesus. So hopefully there's some balance there. The key verse for this series, a lot of you noticed, Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, that says, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. So as you think about that verse, the idea is that we are all being sharpened, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, adult, child, we're all being sharpened in a direction by other people or other influences in our lives. We're all being sharpened towards something, good or evil. And you don't have to look very far past what happened in our country last weekend, just in Orlando, to see the reality that men need other men in their lives, sharpening them towards what is good and what's godly. So the reality is, whether you're man or woman, there are gonna be points in our lives where strength isn't enough or willpower isn't enough. Maybe the way we're gonna say it is that there are gonna be times when tough isn't enough. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna look at iron over the next couple of weeks. We're gonna kind of use that as an acronym. And so today, the word we're gonna talk about on Father's Day is this whole idea of initiate. So say that with me on three, ready? One, two, three. Initiate, right. And so I love it how God brings passages and Sundays together in the right moment. I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about parenting and talked about specifically praying for our kids and developing prayer maps. And some of you have sent me the prayer maps that you've put together for your kids. Really appreciate that. You're doing good kingdom work in praying for your kids. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to talk about a couple of areas of our hearts and lives where as men, as fathers, we need to begin to initiate in our marriages. And so we skipped this verse going through Colossians 3:19, because we knew we were gonna come back to it on Father's Day. And it simply says this, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now the ancients had a saying in Koine Greek, it sounded like this. They said, sizgu, sapakale, sizgu, husbands rule your wives. And it was kind of a joke. It was on inscriptions around places around town, and men would kind of say it to each other. And that's the kind of the way the ancient world ran. Men ruled women. Paul grabs a common phrase in his day and he changes it up just a little bit. He says, sizgu, instead of apakale, he uses a different word. He uses agapun sizgu. In other words, husbands, love your wives. Now, just real quick, this real word lesson. There's different words in their language for the idea of love. We just say love mainly in our language. They had different words. They had one word was phileo, right? That's kind of a friendish kind of love. We talk about Philadelphia, right? The city of brotherly love. It's kind of a friendish, familyish of kind of love that kind of, you know, that kind of love that from being a part of something, being a part of a group that kind of makes us happy. Then there's eros, which was kind of romantic kind of love. They use that in their culture to describe any array of relational kinds of love. But this word that Paul chooses, the word is agapeo. You've probably heard it said agape before, is a sacrificial kind of love. It's actually pretty rare. It's only really used in the scriptures outside of a few contexts to describe God's love for us. And the whole idea is that it's a sacrificial kind of love. In other words, what Paul, I think, is saying to husbands, if I can say it to you this way, is that there comes a moment in our lives where as men, we gotta raise the white flag a little bit, right? And surrender our selfish desires and surrender that kind of what we want, what we get out of it. And we begin to develop a sacrificial kind of love. So if you're thinking about how these words work together, I was trying to differentiate them somehow. And so let's say it this way. So let's say you're dating somebody and they come to you with a great line. Listen, I don't like you in that way. I just want to be Some of you have heard it, great. And so so they come to, and so in Greek they would say, I don't really feel this eros kind of love. Let's just kind of have that phileo, friendish kind of love, which makes you wanna poison them, right? And but that would be harsh. You don't wanna do that. So you see how they kind of work together, the different kinds of love. And what Paul is saying, or I think this is what Paul is getting at, is that for us as men and as husbands, a lot of us never get past the what do I get out of it kind of love. A lot of us never get past the selfish aspects of, well, I'll get into this relationship, that's a phileo kind of friendship, I like it because it makes me happy, or an eros kind of relationship, well, it brings me pleasure, it brings me happiness. An agape kind of love is different. Paul says, listen, many men never get past the pleasure-oriented kind of love to the value-oriented kind of love. Many men never get past the, what do I get out of it? What do I get? How does this make me feel? To, listen, I love because she's worth it, not because of what she gives to me. I've talked to a number of women and they've expressed it different ways, but here's how it kind of sounds. He loves me as long as I, and you fill in the blank with whatever it is. It's a conditional kind of love. And what Paul is saying is that God loves us in a sacrificial way. God loves us with that agape kind of love, and that's what he's calling on us to model. Not just this phileo, friendish, family-ish kind of love, or eros kind of romantic kind of love that you see the creepy couple at the county fair that are walking around with their hands in each other's back pockets, right, when they're walking. Angie always wants to walk like that. I don't understand why she does that. But he's calling us to, and I got, I may be getting poisoned later on today, calls us to something very, very different than that. As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 5, just in Ephesians 5, it and Colossians say the same thing, but it says three different times in 8 verses how husbands ought to love their wives. It says this, husbands, love your wives, do not be harsh with them, just like it says in Colossians. Husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. So Paul says there are three times in Ephesians 5 that men should be willing to lay down their lives for their wives. And I talk to guys a lot and they say, man, I would do that. I would die for my wife. Then why wouldn't you be willing to live? If you're willing to make the big sacrifice, why wouldn't you be willing to make the small daily sacrifices and lay your life down moment by moment, second by second, in the way that you love her? So let me do it this way today. I wanna give you two areas where I believe that husbands need to initiate better with their wives. I've learned these through personal lessons. Listen, I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm not an expert, but I have had the blessing of talking to numerous couples throughout years in ministry who were struggling in different areas. And these are, I'm sure there are more than these, but there are at least two areas where...
I love you.
You think there's a wasp on me? Thank you.
Yeah, I got it. Sorry to you.
Thanks. No, I appreciate that. Good, good. Thank you, Mark. Clap, Pastor Mark. I'm a little nervous now. Where was I? What was I saying? There are at least two areas where we need to do a better job of initiating. The first one is the area of security, all right? And security, and I know what a lot of guys are gonna say. A lot of guys will say, well, listen, Dean, listen, we sleep in the same bed, for goodness sake. How could she not feel secure? But sleeping in the same bed does not mean that she feels secure. Generally speaking, women need security like men need respect. I'll say that to you again. Women need security as much as men need respect. And so guys, as we think about areas that we need to do a better job, she needs to feel, I'm gonna stress that word, she needs to feel close to you. You know, a number of years ago, probably 8 or 9 years ago, we did a survey of our church as we were growing, and we wanted to know how can we help marriages and do a better job there. And so in this survey, one of the questions that we asked husbands was, we said, hey, what is it that makes your wife special? And on one Sunday, I read a couple of the responses anonymously. I'll read these couple of responses that I read that Sunday. One guy said, there's no one who loves the way my wife loves. Another guy said, I feel like my wife would give anything for me and our family. I don't know how she gets it all done. And you know, that Sunday, I guess it was a few days after that Sunday, one of the husbands from our church called me and he said, you know, on the way home from church that morning after you read those responses, he said, my wife looked at me in the car and she said, were any of those responses yours? He said, I looked at her and said, well, which ones did you like? Smart guy, right? Smart guy. So there were some great responses, and then there were some tough responses. I remember one of our single moms responded to a question about her husband. At that time, it was her ex-husband, and here's what she said. She said, I hate him. He made me feel worthless and inadequate, like a non-person, like a slave. I could never do anything that made him happy. I always came short of the mark. I always felt like I was desperately working to earn his approval. I hate him for the crummy way that he made me feel about myself. I don't know whether I will ever get over the hurt that he's caused in my life. So guys, if I could help us from making our wives feel like that lady felt, she felt worthless instead of precious. We've got to understand that, you know, men and women just think differently in general. And I was trying to think of a way that I could illustrate that for you, and this is the best way that I came up with. You know, women are like iPhones, right? The beauty of an iPhone is that you can do numerous things on an iPhone at the same time. I'm amazed at how my wife thinks. She can simultaneously be thinking about dinner tonight, clipping a coupon at Kohl's, a friend who's in relational trouble, and reorganizing the basement. And she can do it all at once, just like an iPhone. Men are like flip phones, right? You put one thing into this phone, you get one result out of it. Very, very one track. And so what happens is when you look at when you look at the iPhone, if you have one, you know, in the new iOS, if you hit this button a couple of times, there's lots of stuff running in the background on your phone all the time. And you know, for most women, maybe not all, but for most women, they have stuff running in the back of their head. All that they've got, all these open windows and panels and things that are going on in there. They're not like us, guys. Guys have a one-track mind, and they're always thinking about food. What are y'all thinking about? Y'all looking at me like, what's wrong with y'all? They're always, so we are one track, they are multi-track. And so here's why that's important. I would just say if you're a guy, you have got to, at the right times and appropriate ways, help your wife close those windows. Listen, if you guys have a conflict, if you all have a fight, and you don't finish that conflict, that thing's still open back there. And it's gonna stay open, and the next time you have a conflict in the middle of an argument, in the middle of a fight, all of a sudden that's gonna pop open, and you're gonna be like, where did that come from? That was 6 months ago. That was 8 months ago. It's because you never finished the argument. You never said you were sorry, or she never said she was sorry, or almost all the time, both of you need to say you're sorry. There's wrong in the action and the reaction. And you've got to close those things. I remember doing some work with a couple one time, and in 10 years of marriage, neither one of them had ever said the words, I'm sorry. Can you imagine all the stuff that was going on in there and all the open windows that would pop and they couldn't figure out why it was? It's because they never closed those things down. So guys, it is incumbent upon us in this area of security, I believe, to go to our wives. Listen, she's gonna spell security, T-I-M-E. And it will take time on our parts. And listen, it's not just physical safety. This is kind of an emotional safety. Does she feel close? So here's my challenge for you guys this week. Sit down with your wives, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, and ask her, 1 to 10, how secure do you feel? And what do I need to do to take steps to help that? I did that this week in preparation for the message. God was impressing things on me. I sat down with Angie this week and I said, okay, let's be honest. Give me the good and the bad. How am I doing? Security is one area. Secondly, I would say another area that we need to initiate is in the area of energy. And what I mean by energy is that she needs your shoulders as much or more than she needs your answers. Guys, I know that we tend to move out into the world, we work hard, and there's something inside of us that says, well, whenever we come home, we should just be free, right? Do whatever we want to do. She needs shared responsibility in the family. She needs your leadership. She needs your initiation. And quite honestly, she just needs help. Whether she works outside the home or whether she doesn't work outside the home, when both of you are home, both of you share that work and that workload. I remember, I think we had, Angie and I just had two kids. She was pregnant with our third child at the time. And we were having a discussion one time and she just said to me, she said, you know when I'm the most attracted to you? I said, yeah, I know. And she went, really? You know? And I'm like, yep. Every Wednesday night, right before I go play basketball, whenever I come downstairs and I've got my basketball shorts on and my basketball shirt on with the sleeves cut out of it, you know, and I'm walking, I said, that's gotta be it. And she's like, no. Just a little bit of an insult, right? Just a little bit. I'm like, well, when are you the most attracted? She said, I'm the most attracted to you when you get down in the living room floor and play with the kids. I'm the most attracted to you when you help, when you say, you know what, I'll do bath time tonight instead of you, and you give me just a little break and you help. She's like, that's when I'm the most attracted to you. And I'm like, well, when you say attracted, what do you mean? She's like, yeah, I mean, like attracted. And I'm like, upstairs, kids, bath time. Here we go. We had the cleanest kids in the neighborhood, right? I'd come home late sometimes. Kids, let's go outside. Get on a swing set. Here we go. Dad, it's 14 degrees. Don't care. We got coats. Let's go. Everybody outside. It will help your marriage if you bring energy to it. You bring work and you share those responsibilities. So that's one part of this energy thing. I'll say the other part of this energy thing, not just your shoulders in terms of work, but I would also say she needs your shoulder at times just to emotionally vent and unload on you. And so that means, guys, there are moments where we have got to do a better job. And maybe you're great at this. I am not good at this. This is an area where God is working on me in terms of sanctification and just my own personal spiritual growth. But when you need to look her in the eye, squared up, shoulder to shoulder, and just listen. And that means turn the TV off, right? Don't set her right here with the game going on in the background so you feel like you can listen. And you know, they've got this wonderful thing now called DVR, and you can just push pause and pause the game and go right back to it. And this is another thing that I struggle with personally. Don't listen so you can provide a solution. Listening is the solution. Generally speaking, a lot of women equate listening with loving. And if you're not listening, then you're not loving. So again, here's my challenge for you. Go to your wife this week and sit down and say, listen, where do I need to do a better job? Where do I need to do a better job of initiating? Where do I do a better job of initiating in the area of energy? Is there an area that I can help that I'm not helping? Is there an area that I could do a better job of listening when I'm not listening? I would say the good news of this and this message today, this week, is that we've got a lot of you here today, a lot of you dads, a lot of you husbands who are actually doing a great job, who are investing not only in your family, but investing in the next generation to see the gospel grow up for the kingdom's sake. And every now and then, you know, we just catch it, we get to see it. A couple of weeks ago, somebody caught a picture back in LifePoint Kids of one of our dads. I'm gonna throw it up here for you to see. And there's one of our dads. He's got one of the little gals there reading a book to her. He's just taking the opportunity, serving in LifePoint Kids, to plant gospel seeds in a child that is not his for the sake of seeing the gospel move into the next generation. That's an agape kind of love. Because there are other things I'm sure he'd rather be doing. That's probably not where he'd maybe choose to be. It feels like a little bit of effort, a little bit of work, but he's sacrificing himself. And that's what, guys, that's what we've got to do. If I can say it to you this way, we got to raise the white flag of surrender, and at times surrender our desires, surrender our appetites, and lay those things down for the sake of bringing God glory. Now, let me zoom out and show you the whole picture. The old and tangy thug picture over there, the little guy on the right side of the picture, that's his son. So he and his son serve side by side in LifePoint Kids. So his son is gonna grow up thinking that the way a real man behaves is investing in the next generation. The way a real man, the way a real godly man lives is somebody who's willing to sacrifice his time, his energy, his efforts for the sake of seeing God's glory spread among the next generation to the nations. You see, guys, I'll tell you, we have an incredible opportunity to be sharpened for the glory of God's name to be spread here and around the world. And every now and then, we get the unique opportunity to see the fruits of that. This morning, we're gonna celebrate baptism. We celebrated them together at 9:30. We're gonna celebrate them, some other baptisms here at 11. And so we're gonna have a baptism come. Pastor Mark is gonna do the first baptism. And then you're gonna see the baptism video for one of the baptisms we did at 9:30. I just wanted you to see, I thought it was unique what this young lady had to say, and I wanted you to see her video as well, okay? So turn to the screens with me and watch the first baptism story.
When I was at Sparks in Nuwana's, I was with this missionary, and I asked him how to get saved because I wanted to go and get saved. And we looked up some Bible verses, and we prayed, and then I got saved. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me, and in the presence of mine enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This verse reminds me that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I want to get baptized because, it shows that people that I got saved. My name is Corey Felder, and I'm going public.
Hi, everybody. It's my pleasure to introduce you to Corey Felder. Wave to everybody, Corey. All right. And Kari is just a bundle of joy. It's been awesome just to see her go through class. I know Ken and Leilani have just invested in her a tremendous amount, and she couldn't wait to get to this moment and show you guys about her faith in Christ. So Kari, have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right. On that, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
My life before Christ was hectic. I didn't grow up in a church, and I really didn't find God until I went to Young Life while I was in high school. I thought that I built a relationship with God, however, I didn't feel that connection, and I truly gave up on that relationship. As I went through life and started college and eventually building the career, I had a really significant relationship that I was in. While in that relationship, a friend of ours invited us to go to Life Point. Unfortunately, that relationship ended. However, I felt this connection with Life Point, the first time I ever felt at home in a church. And I tried many, but it was the first time I felt like I was at home. One Sunday, Pastor Dean extended the invite for any of us to say the prayer to follow God. And I accepted that invite. It was the first time I truly felt like I was meant to build this relationship with Jesus, and that it was truly the right time in my life, that I was ready to have a relationship beyond anything I could have experienced while on earth. Since building a relationship with God, I feel that I have had a strength and a peace that I have never experienced before. I don't always read my Bible, and I may not be the perfect Christian. However, I feel like I'm really building a deeper relationship with Him. I'm still a very new Christian. It's only been 6 months since I've built that relationship. However, in that 6 months, I feel a happiness and a true passion for God that I haven't experienced before. I pray constantly with Him, and it's just a conversation that I've had with Him. And I've had a lot of heartache, but He has given me a sense of wisdom throughout those experiences. My name's Amanda Johnston, and today I'm going public.
You know, the thing that I love about Amanda's story is kind of what we talked about a week or two ago. Remember how we said that we need to do small things with big faith, do the small things believing that somehow, some way God is going to use them in big ways. Well, I would say today that it's not that the small things make a difference. The small things are the difference. And so what you hear in Amanda's story is that she comes up to this point where she's like, either I'm going to step in or I'm not in. And for some of you who are here today, you're probably at a similar kind of point. Maybe you've got some religious experiences like Amanda had in her background, or maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know what, Dean, I'm not the kind of husband I should be, but I guess what I need to do is try harder and give a little more effort. And really, that's not the answer. The answer is that you would put your life in God's hands. The way that we become better servants is not by, you know, more willpower or giving it the old college try. We become servants and better servants by watching, seeing, looking at the servant. Because there's this moment before Jesus goes to the cross, the night before He goes to the cross, when He sits down with the disciples. And I think if you and I are facing something difficult, you know, our tendency is to kind of do this and say, okay, what can I get out of this? But instead, the scriptures say that Jesus took a towel and He put it over His arm like a servant, and He took a basin of water and He knelt and did the lowest work of a servant in their culture, and He washes the disciples' feet. And it's that kind of love that is transformative in you and me. The night before the most difficult day of His life, Jesus takes it upon Himself to give us a model once again of servanthood, so that we would understand in Him going to the cross, Him dying for our sins, that's how the best kind of love works. That's how agape kind of love, and that's the kind of love that changes you and me and stands the test of time. So maybe you're like Amanda and you're here today and you're kind of standing on the edge of that line. I would love to help you take that step. You heard what she said. I'm not a perfect person. But on the other hand, you heard her say, but I've found strength and peace and wisdom. If that's you today, I'd love to help you experience what Amanda has experienced right now. Let's pray together. And Father, thank You for everyone who's here today, Christian or not, man, woman, young person, older person. And God, I pray for anybody who's here who does not have a personal relationship with you, that Lord, as they sense right now, you speaking to them, your spirit drawing them, as they sense something different about your kind of love, the way that that you love us, that you, God, in this moment where they sense that drawing, would not walk away from it, would not back off of that line, but God, rather would step over the line, would step into your love. Yeah, as we just stay in that attitude of prayer, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray up here, and if you there, if you sitting in your seat, you want to take that step, you can pray with me there in your seat this morning. You can pray what I pray. You can pray in your own words if you want, however you want to do that. You can pray something like this. Dear Jesus, thank you for serving me through the cross. Thank you for representing the highest form of love to pay for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm saying today, God, that I turn away from controlling my life. I turn away from my sins and my appetites. And I want you to be in control of my life. I want you to be the leader, and I'll be the follower. Thank you for this salvation gift. Again, as we just kind of stay in that attitude of prayer, Scripture's clear that you don't make this decision isolated and alone, but that you let somebody else know. So I'm just gonna ask that you'll allow me to be the first person that you tell that you've taken this step just by slipping your hand. If nobody's looking around, nobody's gonna ask you to say anything or anything like that. Would you do that right now? If you prayed that with me, just slip your hand up, say, yeah, that was me. Just a way to seal it up. Thanks, great. Yeah, you can take it up, thank you, great. God, thank you. As John already mentioned today, some of us come from homes where we're very grateful for our fathers. Some of us come from homes, God, where there was a lot of dysfunction. There are some people, God, who are here today who don't know who maybe their earthly father is. But regardless of where we find ourselves, Scripture says that you are a perfect Heavenly Father, one who is willing to sacrifice your one and only Son for us. You are a good Father. Thank you for the way that you love us. And God, I pray that we will be good representations of that throughout the world for your name, for your glory. Amen.